life for Native people in the Southeast was varied. It was rich. It could be difficult at times. There were intertribal diplomacies and negotiations and warfares. And it was a life that in which people adapted their social and political structures to meet the demands and the challenges of changing times.
So how many tribes actually called this home, especially, you know, here in the Shenandoah Valley?
Yeah, that's a good question. And the answer to that varies from time and place throughout the Native South. So we can talk about this in sort of broad brushstrokes. In hundreds of smaller tribal polities existing millennia before Europeans arrived. But then as we move through time and into the years 7, 8, 9, 1000 in the Common Era, then what we see are those smaller polities combining into larger political societies that anthropologists and historians refer to as chiefdoms. And that process looks stable on the surface, but in actuality, in various parts of the Southeast, it could be rather unstable at different times in the sort of 500-600 years prior to European invasion.
When you are researching this time period, how do you do it? I mean, are there written historical documents? What's the process like?
Yeah, for historians of Native America, we can't rely solely on written archival documents for several reasons. One is there simply aren't any. We turn then to Native archaeology, to art, and most importantly of all, we turn to the oral stories and the narrative of Native people themselves.
The Native people did finally encounter Europeans. Do we know how they felt about seeing these new people?
There was a mixture of both curiosity and deep suspicion.
Right.
It didn't take Native people throughout the Southeast very long to recognize the motives and to talk with each other about the behavioral patterns of Europeans. And those behavioral patterns tended to be aggressive, and it meant that Europeans tended to impose themselves and their belief systems on Native communities throughout the Southeast.
I used to live in New Mexico, and, you know, Native culture is alive and well in the land of enchantment. But what about here in the Valley and in Central Virginia? What's the Native community like now?
Absolutely. That's a great question. I'm glad you asked it, because not only in Virginia, but throughout the Southeast, Native cultures are alive. They are vibrant. They're renewing themselves. They sort of innovate and adapt to the changing world around them. And those communities are diverse. They have people who are doctors and teachers, as well as people who are skilled tradespeople. And they are retelling their traditional stories and adapting them to the needs of today. And so that's part of a story of renewal that you see particularly throughout Virginia and the Southeast when you visit Native communities and visit Native friends during the powwow circuit, which is still alive and well and a source of cohesion among Native peoples throughout the Southeast.
If there's one thing you want people to know about the history of Indigenous people in the Southeast, what would it be?
It would be that it's diverse and rich, is the best way I can describe Native culture in the Southeast, and that it is still there. It still exists. It's constantly renewing itself. And there are Native people today who still remember the lessons of the past, but are also at the same time concerned with the issues of today and looking forward and planning life for generations, seven generations to come throughout the Southeast.
Gregory Smithers is a professor of American history at Virginia Commonwealth University. His latest book is Native Southerners, Indigenous History from Origins to Removal. Greg will speak at WMRA's Books and Brews tomorrow and Wednesday. Details at WMRA.org. Gregory, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciated this.
It's my pleasure.